The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Now take it from a guy who has the ability to put people into emoji jail, which I use, and I will be using it this weekend because one of Angie's friends talks too much.
I know you want me to keep my big mouth shut.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm never going to talk again.
Yeah, right.
What is emoji jail?
You're only allowed to use hand signals. Thumbs up, middle finger, crying, thumbs down, or a half hour.
What do I need to talk for, huh? What, the blab to the neighbors about how George has a new femme, Jerry friend? Or to tell everybody at the coffee shop how George is all mixed up in a perverse sexual amalgam of some girl and his best friend?
I would just tell you to go bleep
no,
yourself.
No, she knows because she does not like dead air. I like dead air. When I'm doing something, watching TV, sitting in a bar, people watching, I want dead air.
You're never going to be able to completely stop talking. Jerry, 94% of communication is nonverbal. Yeah, watch.
What does this mean?
Well, it's Frank and Estelle's reaction to hearing about George's man love for a CJ.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanted.
I know Mark Chamorro's been looking forward to this for, I don't know, 2-3 weeks now. Some quality time the next 2 days with Joshy and myself, Alex Rofe, in for Gabe and Jen.
No, it's not. It's Alex Strode.
Strode, yeah.
I just gave you a nickname.
And I know you're proud of it. I can see that smile on your face. Look at you. You're so proud of yourself.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Oh, geez. Here we go. Good morning to you as well, too.
Hi, buddy. What do you think of emoji jail?
Yeah, it's a good idea. I heard this the other day. Yeah, I like this. Now, would I do well in emoji jail? No. But I think the rule, in theory, has its perks. So I'm in on it.
All right, so when you're watching a game with people, do you run your mouth? Do you sit there and go, hey, it's 3rd and 8. If they get 8 yards, it's a first down. Oh, really? Thanks. You know who what people I'm talking about?
I do.
You know?
And no, that is not, I'm far too nervous, especially if the Packers are playing. I'm far too nervous to be over-communicating what's going on.
I think emoji jail could really take off.
So is this something you enjoy, or is this something you just enjoy putting others into?
I don't enjoy putting people in there, but I think we all have friends or people we know that need to be put in emoji jail because they just talk too damn much.
Yeah. So
I don't want to sit there watching a Packer game. That's why I watch most of them by myself. Just quiet and watch the thing.
Correct. Okay, so I agree with you on that. But so you mentioned this is Angie's friend who talks too much.
Well, they're our friend. And I love hanging out with them. We're going to Key West this weekend. But I'm anticipating that I'm going to have to put her in jail.
So has she been?
She knows.
She has been sentenced to emoji jail in the past?
Yeah, sure. Yes.
And she will willingly participate in emoji jail?
Yes. So now I have to look at it, Strody, as she's a repeat offender. So now I'm quicker to put her into emoji jail.
Can I just ask you a question about this friend of yours?
Yes.
Does she like you?
Yeah, she loves me.
I don't believe it.
She loves me.
What does her husband think of you telling her she can't talk anymore?
Well, you know what her husband's nickname is? That I gave it to him. The minute I met him.
I know the source. I know.
I gave him this nickname.
It's like Angry.
You know what his nickname is?
What is it?
Angry.
I nailed it.
Well, that's a really uncreative nickname, Chew. You're better than that. Like Strode.
No, he's angry.
I'll give you credit. Strode isn't half bad.
Yeah.
But Angry? You're just describing what he is?
If you met him, you would get it within the first 5 minutes.
Is he angry?
This guy's he's angry. You know,
well, that doesn't sound like fun to go on vacation with. Why are you going to Key West with an angry person?
because he's just like me. He likes to sit there in silence. I've gone on road trips with the guy, right? I've gone on road trips with him for 3 hours, and we've probably said 50 words to one another. There's nothing wrong than sitting in a car and enjoying the landscape. There doesn't have to be talk 24/7. Am I right?
You're asking Stroff.
I think
you're nervous.
I think people get nervous with silence, and there's no reason to get nervous with silence.
Every morning, Stroff walks into this studio back here and comes in like just on fire, ready to talk, and I have no interest in it, and I mostly ignore him and give him short words.
You do. That's accurate. You know what? You've never spelled that out.
He is a perfect candidate. He's a perfect candidate for emoji jail.
Okay,
yes.
The issue is we can't put me in emoji jail over the course of the next 2 hours.
No, you can't, but if I was to do a profile on you, I'd be like, he's definitely, he will be an emoji.
Well, hold on. I want to go back to something Joshy just said. So, Chu, I'll be very upfront about this. I love Joshy, right? The guy is a lunatic. I think he's phenomenal. So,
yeah.
I wake up typically a little bit later than Joshy, right? Josh, you're up at what time every day?
4 a.m.
That's disgusting. Okay, I'm up about 8 o'clock every day. Okay, so there's about a four-hour difference there. I'm rolling into work about 9 o'clock every day. So you're wrapping up Jen, Gabe, and Chewy typically. I'm rolling in. I'm ready to say, what's up, Joshy? It's a hot topic today. Right? What do you got for me? Any hot takeaways from the night before or the weekend? Or the show you just did. And I'm now realizing, after Josh, you just spelled it out for me, he really kind of one-words me.
Uh-huh.
Do you not enjoy our morning interactions?
I don't enjoy somebody who comes in hot like that.
Hold on. Josh, let me ask you this question, because we probably have done 300 shows together. Is that too much?
Probably about
It's probably about in the ballpark.
Josh? We have a production meeting every morning at 6:35.
And we can't get you to shut up in it.
Out of those 300 shows, who ends the conversation?
You, 100% of the times.
Right?
Yes.
There you go. Too much talking, Alex. Now, I know we do radio and you have to talk. I have a question for you.
Because you and I are still, you know, we've gotten to know each other over the course of the last few months. I always enjoy working with you because you have, like me and like Joshy, I think this is what we all have in common, we have an obscure curiosity about life, right? We're just curious about life in general.
Yes.
I'm starting to realize you might be a Richard.
I am, total. Yes, 1,000%.
Because
100%. Hold on. Let me give you an example why I'm a Richard. The perception is that I'm a Richard. Okay?
No. That's my takeaway.
No. Listen to what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I go to the gym right after this, right?
Yep.
And there's people in there, and there's crews I see in this, and they're still curious, big guy, tall, don't know who I am, but maybe have done something. I don't want to talk to you. I just came off of 2 hours of talking. I go to the gym to get out of there an hour after I get my workout in. I don't want to talk. I'll say hello in that. Mm-hmm. But there's people that just go from person to person to person to person. And if they do approach me, I cut it off because I'm there to work out. Now, what's the perception there, Alex?
You're Richard would be my perception.
I could care less. I'm efficient. I am like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
I move. I keep going, right, Josh? The train is moving forward. I don't have time for the train to stop, right? So I don't need to gab for a half hour before we're going to talk for 2 hours. Fair enough?
I would say some would call that planning. I would make the argument that's part of your job. But hey, man, look, I get it. You don't want to talk to us any more than you're legally contracted to. You know, it is what it is. You don't want to be buddies with me and Joshy.
No, I'm buddies with Joshy. Me and Joshy don't have to tell one another that we're buddies. We just give one another a look, and we're like, all right, you're cool.
Yep.
Like, I learned, Alex, yeah, let me just tell you this.
You two just on the same page.
Let me just tell you this. I learned a lot about Joshy last Friday.
What'd you learn?
Last Friday.
Yeah, what'd you learn? The fact that he went to see
Josh,
a cover band.
Josh, you want to tell the story of the Detroit Packer game?
Yeah, I went to see J-Red at the Riverside Theater with 2,500
Hold
of
on,
my
let's let out. Let's let out right there. J-Rad.
Joe Russo's almost
a cover band.
Oh, I'm aware. But
a cover band.
We're going to go with a nickname for a cover band now.
Everybody calls him that. That is
everybody, yep. Everybody
that
calls
him that.
That
is oftentimes, if you see like festival posters, they'll just put J-Rad on there.
Hey, everybody calls him that. All right, continue.
So Joshy, see, I'm going to talk. This is my time to talk, right? I don't want to talk the rest of the day, but now I want to talk. So I find out about this on Friday that he went to see a cover band instead of watching maybe the biggest game of the entire year.
Yeah, I don't think it's I don't think it's a maybe. Yeah.
So Joshy, to me, was known as the resident toad on the show. But a toad does not miss any Packer game. So I surmise that Joshy isn't really a toad. He is just an agitator. He plays the facade of a toad just to get under my skin. Is that true, Josh?
No, it's not true. Don't listen to him.
It is not solely to get under your skin. Sometimes I take positions because I know it will get under your skin and get you going. But that's also me being a producer of a radio program. You got to get the guys going.
So you are or are not a toad, self-proclaimed?
I've never believed I was a toad. I believe I'm a Packers fan. I don't think I am overly always positive. And one of the things that actually drives me nuts and has for a long time is the people who are only positive about the Packers. The people you see online or you interact with when you're like, yeah, the pass rush is bad. And they're like, no, it's actually good. And you're like, well, I mean, that's why are you lying to me?
It's making improvements.
They have 35 pressures. Well,
come on, Chu. They're making improvements.
Can I just run through the gamut here? And Alex, you tell me if this person's a toad. Josh, you too. All right. We don't have a toad on our show now. Correct, Josh?
Sure.
Tausch.
Ready.
Why are we waiting? What the hell's the pause?
I just waited for the sound effect.
He's not going to beat you up.
I don't know.
He is on. He is on from 9 to noon. You don't cross paths, okay? He's not going to beat you up.
Hold on, Chewy. You think I am like the ultra toad, correct?
You're definitely a You're a toad.
So you would put me above Tausch in the toad category?
Just because you're from Green Bay.
Ribbit.
So,
but you're both from Wisconsin.
Where I was born plays a role into how big of a toad I am.
Oh, 100%. Of course it does. Of course it does. Of course it does. All right, let's keep going. Wildy, toad? Not at all.
No, not at all.
Homer?
No.
No.
Do you forget who else is on the station?
Yeah, I think that's it for Chewy's lineup. He's got teammates.
Kyle.
Oh, big time. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Bigger than you? Bigger than you?
Yeah. Yeah, bigger than me.
Brad?
No.
No.
Too rational.
Is Brad from Wisconsin?
Yes.
Famously.
Yes.
He's a toad. Yeah, he's a
toad. No, he's not, though. He's too rational.
Brusk.
Just a fraud.
Yeah.
Maybe a fraud toad.
Yeah, but he went to the concert with Joshy, so I'm leaning towards no, he's not a toad.
Yeah, well, that's why I called him a fraud. I think he would like to be called a toad because it's different.
It also depends on the day, the week.
Yeah, the Packers'
previous game.
So the solids, Joshy, the solids are Strode, Kyle, and Tausch. How would you rank them?
I would go Strode, Kyle, Tausch.
See, I would go Kyle Strode.
Okay.
Tausch.
I think either one's right. I think we're cutting a fine line, and I think it sort of depends on the day for them. For a while in the offseason, Strode was more of a toad for the Bears for much of the season, telling us how much to worry about them and how good they were going to be.
Word. I thought they were going to be good, though. I will admit that. I thought the Bears were going to be much better than they are.
He has a little more fatalistic approach to his fandom at times.
Okay.
Is Maddie in the building?
She's not.
Not quite.
She's listening.
I want
though.
Maddie, who gets the predictions every week, I want to know who out of, what are we, week what? How many games have they
won? We're through 13 games.
13 games. How many games did you pick them to lose?
Two. I think I had them at 11-2 at this point.
I think that's a lie. I think it's one. What about Kyle?
He's definitely 100% has them at 13-0. 100%.
And then Tausch.
Probably Tausch also has them at 13-0.
You might be third, buddy.
Well, that's I'm glad you say that because my goal before we get to Adam Schefter here in about 15 minutes, senior NFL insider for ESPN who's going to join us at 7:30 this morning, I think I can strip the nickname that Chewy has so proudly given me, Strode. I think I am leaning less and less towards being a toad. We will dive into that as the Packers approach playing the Seattle Seahawks. Adam Schefter, all still ahead as we roll with you. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you on a Wednesday morning right here, ESPN Milwaukee.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy on a Wednesday. Alex Strofe in for Jen and Gabe alongside the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Chmura. Joshy DiMaggio running the show as always with you this morning. So
I just got a text from Maddie.
Oh boy.
I just got a text from Maddie.
Don't tell me what it says.
Kyle and Tausch have never predicted a loss.
13-0 the Packers are.
Yep.
So maybe I'm not the biggest toad.
You can't get any toadier. Can't get any toadier than that.
Well, good.
Which is fine. Fan bases need toads. They definitely need toads. But I don't listen to toads. I'm sorry.
Well, the good news is I don't think I am one, but we will revisit that a bit later. Because I do want to get into this with you, Chew. We talked a little bit about it before the show. But been looking forward to getting your thoughts on this, which resurfaced yesterday. So back in 2002, Michael Strahan broke the single-season sack record in the NFL by sacking Brett Favre. And Brett Favre essentially taking a dive for Strahan to break the record previously set by a guy by the name of Mark Gastineau, which he played in the 80s, the late 70s and 80s, for the New York Jets. Gastineau and Favre crossed paths last summer at an autograph signing, and it led to just a really awkward confrontation, which let's just take a listen to it, and then I want to get Chewy's reaction to the interaction between Brett Favre and Mark Gastineau.
We met a long time ago. At least I saw you.
Right.
How you doing?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me. You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
Anybody will tell you Brett Favre took a dive. And you know it. She knows it. He knows it. And everybody knows it. I didn't know what had happened. The NFL should have stopped that and said, listen, no. That's not a sack. He took my record away from me.
That Mark Gastineau, the voice you hear there at the end, that courtesy of ESPN and 30 for 30, the documentary coming out on that. Brett Favre later goes on Twitter, clears the air through a thread. Long story short, essentially says, Mark definitely left an indelible mark on the game. I hope this controversy brings attention to just how great Mark Gastineau was. He belongs in Canton. Merry Christmas, everyone. Brett Favre on X. Chewy, the heck do you make of that?
He's a loser. Not Brett. Gastineau's a loser. Listen to his teammates that played with him. The guy's all about himself. No one knows who you are, bro. Okay, no one knows. I asked you, Alex, have you ever heard of Mark Gastineau?
No, I hadn't prior to yesterday.
Move on, you loser. You know what? And I'm sure Tausch has addressed this. Tausch was the right tackle. I've been a part of that play hundreds of times. The game was in hand. Mm-hmm. Strahan is a great player. Just read the boot, And I'm sure what the coach has told him, like I said, the game was in hand. It's like, don't do anything stupid. So Brett thought the best thing to do was slide. I mean, go to Tausch. No one told the guy that they're running. But you know what? That's irrelevant. This guy is such a loser, you know? And if you listen to the whole clip of everything, his teammates hated him. They said he was the most selfish guy ever. He just... I have no use for people. Like, he just wants to be relevant. He wants his 15 minutes back. And I remember watching him play. And I'll just say this, okay? I'll say this very simply, and I'm not pointing any fingers.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. The NFL didn't start drug testing until 1987.
Somehow you handled that perfectly.
The NFL... did not start drug testing until 1987.
That might be the best ever chew. That was the best ever chew. I'll just say this. I'll just say without saying the thing.
Yeah.
I will just point this out.
Yes.
And I will let you interpret it however you wish.
That was a masterclass from Chewy. The one thing I do want to kind of combat here on you, Chewy, is that was clearly a run to the left that Brett Favre kept the ball on his own, and no one knew he was going to do that. If you watch the blocking and everyone out there, I don't think it's as big of a deal. I understand how Mark Gastineau is not probably going to make the same amount of money at the signature things, but to confront someone like that and then to hear how his teammates thought of him and the way he played, it makes him so unlikable. And right now, it is really hard to out-unlikable Brett Favre. And he did it, had it in spades.
Yeah, no, he made Favre look like
him. You know who Gastineau is? And I'm sure, you know, people that remember him. He's the Jose Canseco of football.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it like that
the
clearly
Jose Canseco
is
of football.
It's just all about him, is which makes it like so unlikable, and it is his record.
Yeah. How do we like the line? I'm gonna get my sack back.
Yeah, like what does that mean?
Chewy, you're
sounds like a wife issue more than a football problem.
Whoa, yeah, whoa.
Lurie Bobbitt.
Whoa. Chewy, you seem like a guy who doesn't struggle with confrontation.
I could. I you know what? I tell it the way it is,
and
which is what I think people want. People don't always like it, but I'm just, you know, it's. And I played with not a lot of guys, but I played with guys that were all about themselves.
Of course.
I mean, the most frustrating thing. Hall of Fame soon.
No. He wasn't. I love playing with him.
No, I'm saying one of them might be making it soon. Sterling.
Oh, yeah. But I love, like I said a million times, the most frustrating thing for us when Ron was starting to construct his team in the early 90s, and in 92 we are a long ways from where we needed to get to, the most frustrating thing with the core guys that were there, Leroy, Brett, Reggie wasn't there yet, Frankie, you know, the core guys, was going in on Tuesday after a loss. Right? Because that's when you got paid and they put the checks in your little nameplate in the locker.
Mm.
And guys were already goofing around and jagging around after a bad loss and things like that. And it just didn't sit well with you. You know, it's kind of, remember Moneyball? When Brad Pitt goes in the locker room and Giambi's brother is dancing there, that's what it felt like, you know? And I played with guys like that. It was just no fun. And thank God we had Ron to get rid of those turds. But that's what Gastineau's a turd. Listen to the guys on the D line. It's one thing if they were O linemen, Joshy.
Right.
Disparaging. They're guys on the defensive line that were in meetings with them every single day that said this guy is a fraud. He's all about himself. So watch the whole thing, and it paints the picture of what a jag.
Thank God we had Ron Wolf to get rid of those turds.
Uh-huh.
Eloquently put by Mark Chamorro, the Packers Hall of Famer.
Shopping spree at the Bucks Pro Shop. What could be better than that for your holiday shopping? This Friday, December 13th, Kyle Wallace from Kyle, Brust, and Ortman will be out at the Bucks Pro Shop at Fiserv Forum starting at noon this Friday. Get there early, answer some Bucks trivia questions, and that shopping spree will be all yours. But make sure you get there on time. The first fan to answer three trivia questions in a row is the winner. That's noon this Friday, December 13th, at the Bucks Pro Shop at Fiserv Forum. Kyle Wallace will see you there. We continue this conversation as well as plenty others. ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins us next right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Initially, I was told from the jump, 3 to 4 weeks. I was told initially that the games that were most likely for him to come back were either the Vikings in week 4 or the Rams in week 5.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, gaming, casual, and fine dining. 2 golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Your premier source for everything about the Shield. It is ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Alex Stroph, Mark Chmura hanging out with you on this Wednesday morning. Schefty, we're diving in a little bit to this dust-up, I guess you could call it, between Brett Favre and Mark Gastineau that was released yesterday. Yeah. What a video that was. What'd you make of that little interaction?
Well, I watched it and I was surprised by it because when I watched the video, it honestly looked like Mark Gastineau wanted to go attack him. I mean, it looked like he was going to get in his grill and it looked like he wanted to hit him. It looked like he had been waiting to hit him for a long time. Like that moment had been coming and he had been waiting for it and it was upon him and he had his chance to go get Brett Favre. You could see somebody that was with Brett step in there and wisely kind of walk him away. That guy saw what I saw. It's not the spot that Brett Favre wanted to be. And Brett Favre posted an apology last night, which I was surprised to see. I mean, he was apologizing for this guy going at him. But the way, obviously, the one thing that he did do, I didn't think he needed to apologize, but I think he could have said, what he didn't say, he said it without saying it. Stepping back and thinking about it and talking about it with other people allowed me to see why you are angry. Basically, you feel like it's helped keep you out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Keeping you out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame has cost you money. It has hung over your head. I didn't think about it in those terms. I never did. My apologies there. Like, I was surprised. He sounded almost afraid in the apology.
Well,
and
the reason he's not in the Hall of The reason he's not in the Hall of Fame, Adam, is because he's a jerk. I mean, if you listen to the guys, even on the D-line that played with him, they couldn't stand the guy, you know?
Well, Chewy, let me say this. That is the team that I grew up rooting for, okay? And I remember a story. Honestly, my love of newspapers dates back to that team and that sack exchange. Like, that was the height of my fandom as a kid. And I remember hearing the stories they drafted. Like, I can remember right now. Mark Gastineau in the second round, I think it was Indiana State, and in his very first training camp, he ripped the face mask off of an opposing offensive lineman or a tight end, took his face mask right off, and I heard that, and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see Mark Gastineau play. Like, I was all fired up, and he was a great player, and he was not well-liked, which obviously you come to see in this documentary, the 30 for 30, and Joe Klecko was widely respected and beloved and is now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we always tease the Hasselbeck brothers because it was the Hasselbeck brothers' father, Don, that basically hit Joe Klecko and took out his knee in a meaningless game late in the game and tore his ACL back in the day. And so we always got him the Hasselbecks. And, you know, their dad's a cheap shot artist. You know, and his dad, Don Hasselbeck, he's a great man anyway. But we always had fun teasing Tim and Matthew about that. So Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the 30 for 30 special, but I was surprised. I didn't realize the level of animosity that Mark Gastineau had for Brett.
Yeah, plenty of it. But I'm curious for you, right? Like, you were part of one of the more famous, what would be the word, confrontations, I guess, of the last couple of years, Shefty, when Aaron Rodgers texted you, lose my number, right? How did you think of the opening line, I'm going to get my sack back to open the confrontation? I didn't think, like, he could have been a little bit more eloquent in his delivery, was my takeaway.
Well, first of all, I didn't realize that mine and Aaron's was a confrontation. And I didn't realize that it ranked it in the past 2 decades as one of the great.
Oh yeah, absolutely, Shefty.
Okay, well, that's news to me, and I'm glad that somebody didn't have to walk me away from Aaron Rodgers and want to kick my ass there. Like, that's a good thing. The Gastineau's going to come after Brett Favre there. I didn't equate those two, but thank you, Alex.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
So Adam, we have, Mark Tauscher has a show on this station, who was the right tackle at the time. And there were rumblings that Strahan was told that there's a boot coming his way. Tausch has said no way. Brett has said no way. I've run that play 100 times, and in that instance where the game was in hand, because Brett, earlier in his career, threw a lot of dumb picks, was told, don't do anything stupid. So his reaction against a great sack rusher in Strahan, he just went down. So I think the play was legit. There's no basis for Gastineau. I can't believe he even cares. And I'm with you. I didn't think of the money aspect of it all. But come on. I'm sorry. These two guys have no idea who Mark Gastineau is. Move on.
But it's like, I guarantee if you were asking Brett Favre that day, I don't know, the autograph signing show together, whatever it was, I don't know what brought them together that day. That's interesting to me. I look forward to seeing the special. But, like, again, I would have had no idea that Mark Gastineau could harbor that much animosity and that much of a grudge for that long a period of a time. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's what was so startling about the whole thing to me. And clearly it
shocked Brett.
Oh yeah, it had sat with him for a long time.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That was
Adam, moving forward, what was your takeaway from the Packer Detroit game?
You know, that I'll give you something that I think is interesting. It's always hard to beat a team 3 times in one season. It just is. And I think that I'm not going to be surprised if these two teams play again and it's a close game and Green Bay is going to have a chance to win it. Now, I'm not telling you that the Packers are going to go beat the Lions in Detroit in the postseason because they're going to have to play an A game to go do that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again, and I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
I'm with you on that. And when it comes to the NFC playoff picture, I'm really down to 4 teams, right? And I think I'm more of a believer in the Vikings now than I was even 2 weeks ago, seeing the way they continue to find ways to win football games. I think it's down to the Lions, Eagles, Vikings, Packers, Shefty. I'm really not going out on a limb by saying that, but is there anybody else in the NFC playoff picture that catches your eye as maybe a sleeper team or an underdog here as we approach the end of the season?
Well, I still like the Buccaneers because I think Baker Mayfield is feisty and tough, and I think that they'd be a tough out. I don't know that they, I mean, they won in Detroit already this year. Mm-hmm. Now they will have to play without Chris Godwin, and they still haven't won their division, but they have now moved themselves into position to be able to win the division against a Falcons team that they don't have the tiebreaker with. They've already lost 2 games to Atlanta, so Tampa has to finish at least 1 game. Ahead of the Falcons, who have lost 4 straight games. But I think because Baker's so tough and gritty, I think that they're a tough team.
Yeah, an offense that can put up points. Obviously, that's a formula that can win you games in January.
Well, the Lions, how many games have the Lions lost this year? 1 or 2?
One, yeah.
And who was the team they lost to?
That was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, yeah. Good call. No. Adam, I know last week we talked about Aaron Rodgers and is he going to be back as a Jet? And, you know, we don't know what he's going to do. Could Kirk Cousins be done in Atlanta with the drafting of Penix last year? Because he's not playing good football.
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the question. I don't think that's out of the question that he could be gone after this year. It's a tradable contract. I think it's fair to say, and it's actually worthwhile pointing out and bringing it up again on other ESPN shows, but I think he's playing for his football future in Atlanta there, right? Because if he keeps playing like this, the chances that he's back there drop. And the contract is tradable. And they could do that. And I think that there would be a team out there that would have some interest in Kirk Cousins. So, I don't think they're thinking that right now, Chewy, and I don't think they're looking to do that. But are we logically discussing, could he be playing for his football future? Could it be a one? That's an option. Absolutely, I think, right now. Especially, you know, if they like Michael Penix as much as they do, and they did use the 8th overall pick on him, and supposedly looks pretty good in practice, and he's picked up the offense. If he's coming along and they feel that good about him, they're going to want to get to him.
He is, that's a really interesting story in Atlanta. The way they started so hot and have kind of fallen off. Yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. Hanging out with Adam Schefter this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Schefty, it feels like the biggest story in the NFL and college football, really, the last week has been the University of North Carolina's interest in Bill Belichick. What's the latest there?
The two sides have been continuing to talk. There are ongoing conversations. And I think right now, that they're trying to work out a deal. And I think it's, if I had to handicap it, and I'd be handicapping, right, I think it's probably right now more likely that Bill will take the job than not take the job.
Wow.
But I also would say it's not done. And they're still going through things. And last year, at one point in time, there were many people across the league who thought Bill was getting the Falcons job. And he didn't get the Falcons job. And so for this to work out, I think North Carolina is going to have to meet all his conditions and structure it the way he wants. And they're going to have to go through and get everything the right way. The flow chart, who he's reporting to, money, NIL. Like there's a whole host of issues that they're sifting through. And any one of them could derail those talks and result in a deal not getting done. But have there been significant conversations over multiple days? Yes. Would Bill like to get it done? I think he would. Would North Carolina? I think it would. They're both working to get it done. I think it's moving in that direction of getting done, but it's not done. And with Bill, until it's done, it's not done.
Sure. And I'm curious for you, how do you interpret how the NFL feels about Bill Belichick if it's going to be college football for him?
I mean, look, the NFL had a chance to hire Bill Belichick last offseason. They didn't do that. They could have hired him at some point this season. They didn't do that. There could be an owner out there that is saying, hold on, Bill, I see you're talking North Carolina. We're about to fire our head coach. We'd like to interview, if not hire you. Hold on, don't do this yet. I don't know if anybody's done that. So there have been enough opportunities for other teams, the NFL teams, to speak up and say to Bill, hey, we're interested. And to my knowledge, there have been some teams that have expressed interest in him. He was a finalist, I think it's fair to say. He was a finalist for the Falcons head coaching job. I think there was some contact with Washington before Washington decided to hire Dan Quinn. I don't know what other contact he's had with teams since those two opportunities and jobs were filled. But there's been ample time for teams to move on Bill Belichick if they wanted, and nobody has. So Bill's not sitting around waiting. Bill wants to coach. He's a coach at his core. And if that means coaching North Carolina, which is not something that many people would have envisioned, then that's what he's going to go do. And it's up to the two sides now to see if they could figure out in their discussions a way to get it across the finish line, which, again, I want to emphasize. I think it's moving that way. But until it's done, it's not done.
Well, Adam, do you think the perception of some of these owners are, look, those championships were Brady, more Brady than Belichick?
I don't think that's what's holding them back. I don't believe that. You know, having covered the Broncos and during the time that they won two Super Bowls, Chewy, everybody always talked, was it Mike Shanahan or was it John Elway? Was it John Elway? It's both of them. It's both of them. Like, was it Brett Favre or Mike Holmgren? Like, I don't know if that conversation's ever come up. It's both. Like, I believe and I maintain that the quarterback is the most important position in all of football. It's the most important person in all of football. But then that great quarterback does need a coach to make sure that everything is run the right way and that the team functions at the highest level. Like, I mean, a lot of these other great quarterbacks have had other great coaches and they haven't won Super Bowls, right? The two complement each other. Yeah.
Well, you could say the same for Andy Reid Mahomes, right?
Of course.
Andy Reid right now is probably the best coach. Yeah.
You can do it with every great quarterback. And by the way, like, I always side to the quarterback as the guy that's more important, but the quarterback doesn't do what he does without the head coach being who he is.
Yeah.
We will continue to wait and see on Belichick. Yeah, it's a fascinating story. Adam Schefter, senior NFL insider for ESPN. Appreciate the time as always, Schefty. Thanks.
Alex, Chewy, have a great day. Enjoy that 30 for 30, and let's see if there's more to that Gaston O'Farm thing, right?
Yeah, we've got the 30 for 30. We've got the Rodgers Netflix doc next week. I mean, the couch is going to be good the next week, man.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right, guys, thanks so much.
Thanks, Schefty. Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee with everything you like to do. In one awesome location, visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. I just
let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN. So get it on.
On a Wednesday, Alex Stroff, the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Chmura, Joshy DiMaggio hanging out with you on a Wednesday morning. The Belichick to college thing is really strange to me, Chew. And I don't...
me too.
Maybe I should have followed up, but is it because we're not in the NFL hiring cycle yet, right? There's only three open jobs. Would Belichick wait? Would he not get an opportunity like he didn't last year? It just seems silly to me that a team like the Chicago Bears wouldn't at least take a swing at a proven Super Bowl winning head coach for a team that just has consistently, time and time again, not been able to figure it out. Like, that would be the number one option for a team like Chicago. I don't get why they would let him slip away.
Very
he wouldn't
easily
go there, maybe because of the ownership, would be your take, I assume?
I very easily explain it. Kevin Warren is clearly running the ship there. We've seen Waddle and Sylvie talk about it. We've seen Ryan Poles show unhappiness. Bill Belichick would want things done his way, and that would require the ownership to cut off Kevin Warren at the knees and tell him this is no longer happening. And I don't think ownership really loves the Bill Belichick thing. There's a reason he's not with the Crafts anymore. Because they don't get the accolades.
I don't think his coaching style translates to today's players. And, you know, my oldest son's been coaching in the college ranks for not quite 10 years now, but he tells me he sees a lot of 55-year-old coaches, 60-year-old coaches can't do it anymore because they can't coach the way they want to coach or the way they've been coached because these kids need to be coddled so much. You know, and all these kids, you know, rightfully so, and I think the system is screwed up in college, but
yes,
he tells me all these kids care about is money. Yeah, I'll come there. How much are you going to pay me? Which is fine.
So I guess is that
you know,
a pro,
because I
is
think they should be paid
for Belichick.
I think he believes in North Carolina he can get top rate recruits because he's Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
that's why. And I think he sees the writing on the wall when it comes to the NFL. No, because what is Belichick in his 70s?
Yeah, I mean he's up there for sure.
I mean his just coaching style. And when I played Alex, there were two schools, right? There was the West Coast school of Bill Walsh, and then there was the Bill Parcells school of the New York Giants, right? Mm-hmm. Parcells' way was hard ass, yell, practice in pads twice a day. West Coast was a little more lax. You know, we still practice in pads and work hard, but we didn't work as hard as the Parcells tree, which Belichick is part of that tree. Mm-hmm. So I think he sees the writing on the wall with the NFL. The NFL's going younger, and I think they're going offense, right?
Yep, I would agree.
I think NFL franchise want to hire more of an offensive-minded coach than a defensive-minded coach, and I think he believes he still wants to coach, but I think he goes North Carolina's warm, and his name, he believes, will get him 5-star recruits.
At 72 years old, he'll be 73 in April.
Is he still dating the 21-year-old?
Oh, yeah. So don't tell him he doesn't know how to recruit college kids.
I believe she's 22.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hey-o.
I didn't want to say.
I mean, it's just a fact, brother.
It's just a fact, Jack.
I mean, not breaking any news here, I don't think. The Packers good or are they a fraud? We dive into it next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Hour 2 after this.